CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to The State of Recruiting, your weekly Hornch 24/7 recruiting podcast. I'm Mike Roach. I'm joined, as always, by Nick Harris. We'd like to remind you that you can find us on any podcast platform of your choice, whether that be iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or any other major podcast venue. We'd also like to ask you to please subscribe, rate, and review the show. Five-star reviews on iTunes get answered automatically in our mailbags of the week. We want to also point you to the other great shows on the Hornch 24/7 network, The Flagship with Taylor Estes and Chip Brown, and the Longhorn Blitz with Jeff Howe and Rob Babers. So before we get into today's show, Nick, it's been a couple weeks, but we are back.
Yeah, absolutely. We've definitely been to a lot of games since then and seen a lot of football, so I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're going to recap it all. I might just do last week, but it's been a couple of wild weeks, I think, for the both of us. I've been dealing with some stuff, you know, here. It took some days off, which ran the last week's podcast. Ran it through, so we couldn't get it in. Nick's been traveling, so he's going to tell you all about that. So we appreciate all the questions everybody asking, but we are back, and we're not going anywhere. We just sometimes can't fit it all in and have to take a week off or two. Let's jump right in with kind of what's going on in recruiting right now. I think the biggest news for Texas is the upcoming decision of Terrence Cooks, the Shadow Creek linebacker. That'll be happening Saturday about 3:00. Nick is supposed to be there for live coverage as he is headed to Houston for this weekend. And, I wrote something last night, but I think Texas is in a really good position here.
Yeah, I believe so too. This is a kid that Coleman Hutzler came in kind of almost month one on the job as a linebackers coach for Texas and prioritized Terrence and got him on campus back in January whenever they were able to do visits for this 21 cycle. I believe that was for the Elite Day experience. And, you know, coming out of that visit, we always felt, you know, Texas was in a pretty good spot. Obviously, a couple of schools came along the way, like LSU really has put up a pretty good fight, Baylor as well. And, there's definitely schools to keep an eye on moving forward, but I definitely like where Texas sits for sure.
I think you mentioned really the relationship aspect from Coleman Hutzler's has been huge. I think that anytime you talk to Terrence or somebody in his family, that's the first thing that comes up. And so much so that when I saw Terrence a little while ago, I asked him, you know, is that still the case? Is there anybody that's close? And he said, no, there's not really any coach that's come close to what Coleman Hutzler has done for the family as far as establishing that relationship and being somebody they can lean on and trust. So I think that's huge. I think the education aspect is a huge part of it. Terrence's mom is an educator. She's an administrator. She's a professor. She cares a lot about academics. So I think that Texas kind of checks all those boxes. And though there have been some times where certainly it looked like maybe Texas would fumble this one, this has really felt like their race to lose since that it was actually late January. I looked it up today. It was January 30th I think 29th or 30th that we were down there in Austin. So for almost a year, this one has looked like Texas' race. So I think that it will be good news on Saturday for Texas. They are going to face off against a Final Four of Baylor, LSU, and Georgia. I think LSU made an interesting push in the summer, but it was never something that was sustained that long. I actually think Baylor's probably the chief competition here. Nick, as you cover Baylor at times, what can you speak to on that side?
Yeah, Terrence's appeal to Baylor is just a lot of the coaches from the LSU team last year, especially on the defensive staff, are now at Baylor, especially with Dave Aranda, head coach. And they were able to give him a pitch like, hey, you know, that defense that you saw last year, we're about to build that into, you know, what we can make of it this year in the next couple of years here in Waco. And he definitely drew an appeal off that. And I believe he visited the campus a couple of times on his own. He obviously has Kyron Drones, who is the quarterback for Shadow Creek, that is committed to Baylor. So he's been in his ear as well. There was a lot of things that, you know, Baylor kind of checked boxes for, especially that education as well. But I think going down the stretch, the thing that made the difference for Texas is obviously the relationship with Coleman Hutzler. I don't believe that Terrence was necessarily able to build a connection with a coach like he has with him.
Yeah, and I think if it's, like I said, if it's up to me, it's probably comes down to those two. So knowing what we know, I think my pick's been on Texas for, I don't know. I can't remember when I put it in, but it was sometime in the spring. So it's been on there for a while, and I think Nick's has been there as well. So I think we'll be leaving them there unless something, some emergency, something pops up. There's also been a couple new offers out this week, two in-state offers that really stick out. Remington Strickland, an offensive lineman for Fort Bend Christian, was offered today. This is Thursday as we're recording this. And I think he's a versatile interior guy, guard, center guard guy, probably not a tackle body, but a guy who I think the stuff I've seen on him, he's pretty nasty run game. And, you know, I think Oklahoma recently offered him as well. So he's starting to gather some big attention following, a pretty good senior year. I think that this is just Texas looking around and seeing what's there for bodies on the offensive line. And to see if they can get something there. Nick, I don't know how much you've looked into Strickland since the offer came down just before we recorded, but do you have anything to add on him?
Yeah, I'd actually not heard of the kid until Texas had offered, but, you know, I've been doing my research this morning, and he's definitely a late riser in the 21 class. You know, I like what he has to offer. He definitely comes from an interesting program down there. Interesting little private school down in the Fort Bend area. But, you know, if this is a kid that Texas likes late in the 21 cycle, it seems that they even have some competition for, you know, other schools that like him at this point. I think Michigan is heavily involved as well as Oklahoma. So, yeah, this is definitely a kid who's a late riser in here in this 21 class.
All right. I think the other kid that really popped out is one that I probably knew less about and you knew more about. That's Brian Rutter, receiver Keithron Lee, who was offered yesterday. I watched some of him, and I really like kind of the way he tracks the ball and plays the ball. What do you know about him, Nick?
Yeah, Keithron has been lighting it up for Brian Rutter this year, obviously out of Aggie country, but he's a former UTSA commit. I was actually put onto him about week one or week two, and I was told, hey, look out for this kid. This kid could really blow up this year. You know, I've been kind of keeping up my eye on him since. He's been putting up some crazy stats. I believe he had a game earlier in the year where he had like 20 receptions for 350 yards or something like that. And so this kid can definitely put up the numbers. And obviously a lot of the big name programs are starting to get involved now. And I like this as a late add for Texas if they're able to pull this one off. I like this as a late add to the class. You know, I think this is a kid that can come in and develop year one and then possibly turn into a pretty good stud for the Longhorns moving forward. But it looks like there's going to be quite a bit of competition as a lot of schools are starting to get involved. But we'll have an article up on Keithron next week as well.
So we're right at that point in the senior season where coaches are watching that midseason film and catching the first half of games. And it comes a little later this year because football season started a little later this year. But I think that's why you're seeing the influx of offers. One other guy I expect to be offered in the next couple of days is probably Parish Episcopal offensive lineman Austin Uke. I think Nick will be able to see him this week so he could talk a little bit more about him, maybe on next week's show. Nick, before we move on to our second segment, it was signing day yesterday for basketball, baseball, basically all non-football sports. Texas basketball signed, well, from what I understand, they were set to sign four of their commits. Did that happen?
Yes, it did. They were able to sign all four of their commits. Pretty good class overall for Texas. Obviously, the big prize of of the class that they were trying to land all along was Damian Collins. But, you know, even though that they missed out on Collins to Kentucky, they are still able to build a really solid class with these four guys. You know, I believe all four of these guys are guys that can come in and be four-year contributors. Some of them even four-year starters. You know, these are some solid kids. I really like David Joplin. He's a stretch four power forward out of the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin. He's a kid that can play one through four or guard one through four. He can shoot from outside. He can shoot with the hand in his face. And whenever he needs to get busy inside and grab a rebound, you know, in crunch time, he's a kid that can do it. He has a contagious personality. You know, I think this is a kid that's really going to fit well into this Longhorn program and, you know, kind of stick out as one of the big personalities of the team. And then obviously Tamar Bates from the IMG Academy, good left up spot shooter, but he can also attack the rim. He's a kid I really like in this class. I think it's one of the better guards in this class as well. And I think he fits the Texas system completely because he can prioritize defensive technique as well. That kind of fits the mold of a combo guard that Shaka Smart has been able to do here in Austin in recent years. So I think these are all really good system guys, and they can end up contributing to possibly a Big 12 title down the line.
I guess I would ask, are they done with this year's class? Is there a chance they add any more guys like in the interim? I don't really know. I know basketball also signs in February. This is just kind of the early, but is there a chance they add somebody else?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a chance. The numbers were already going to be kind of questionable. And then the granted waiver for eligibility this year in the NCAA for spring sports, that's also going to make the numbers even more weirder for basketball this year. But I could see possibly one or two more spots becoming open, but I could also very well see no more spots coming open in this, you know, wrapping up the 2021 class. It's all just going to kind of depend on, you know, who kind of breaks out of the pack this year for Texas, who looks like they're going to get drafted, who looks like they're going to move on. And even at that point, they might look into the transfer market or the JUCO market for, you know, any extra spots. So we'll definitely see moving forward. But I could very well see these four guys being the four to wrap it up.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for that. So keep with Nick. He did a great job with that signing day coverage and keeping our readers informed on that. Before we move on to our next segment, I want to mention, it's a big piece of news on our site and only our site. Bobby Burton, our creator, founder, all those things, is moving on and moving away from Horns 24/7. Bobby has been a big part of my life and my professional career doing this, and was a great mentor to me. And so I think there's an open mic episode I did during quarantine with Bobby where we just kind of talked about founding the you know, the recruiting business and the way he did. And I think that he blazed a trail that we're all fortunate for, because none of us would be here if he didn't. And, you know, I have one of the best jobs in the world because of him. And he's been an incredible mentor, an incredible person. So I'm really excited to see what he has going on next in his life, and really happy for him to move on. But did want to stop and just say a word about Bobby and how much we'll miss him here at Horns 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't even really been on Horns 24/7 for more than a year, but Bobby has definitely served as a mentor to everybody on the site. And, you know, he gave both of us this opportunity to be on the site. So thanks for everything, Bobby. And we hope you we wish you great luck in your future endeavors.
All right, let's move on to our high school segment. Nick, we are going to, before we get into picks, let's go ahead and talk about who we saw last week. So what did your lineup look like last week?
Last week I was only at one game, but I think it was a pretty important one for Texas recruiting fans. I went out to Colorado and I saw Cherry Creek against Arapaho. Cherry Creek is the number one team in 5A in Colorado. They're home to 2021 commit Gunnar Helm at tight end, 2021 target Arden Walker at defensive end, and 2022 target at offensive tackle George Fitzpatrick. I was able to see all three of them in action. You know, I really like Gunnar Helm. He's pretty versatile as a tight end. They can throw him down in blocking situations, but he can also get out in the slot and line up out wide. And he's a really good route runner. I think he's going to be a guy that can really stretch the field for Texas. And ironically enough, you know, comparing him to a kid from Texas, I think it would probably be, you know, former commit Landon King. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two. Gunnar Helm is obviously a former receiver, just as King. So, you know, these are guys that are, you know, first bred receivers and then, you know, have learned to block over time. Arden Walker, you know, I kind of like him as an outside backer right now, but he's starting to fill into his frame. And if he can fully fill into his frame, I think he's going to be a monster of a defensive lineman at the next level. He's kind of a low floor, high ceiling type kid. But he's a really good kid. And, you know, I'm excited to see what he can do with his future. And then George Fitzpatrick, the offensive tackle, still pretty raw right now, but he's a kid that I think will be a beast come his senior year.
All right. Where are you headed this?
Say that one more time.
Where are you headed this week?
Tonight, as we're recording on Thursday, going out to Burleson to see Everman and Burleson going to go catch Juan Davis. The commit that I think a lot of fans forget about in the 2021 class, but Juan Davis has definitely been putting up some big numbers this year. I'm going to get out and see what he can do tonight. And then on Friday night, going out to Fort Worth to see Nolan Catholic and Parish Episcopal. Tons of targets in that game, but I'm really looking at Austin Uge, like you said, at offensive tackle. You know, he's a kid that's really blowing up in the 2021 class, and I think Texas could get involved for sure. And then Saturday, obviously heading out to Terrence Cook's commitment in Manville around 3 p.m. And then later that night, checking out Cy Ranch and Cy Park. I'm mainly there to see Harold Perkins for Cy Park. He's been balling on both sides of the ball this year for them. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And he recently just gained a 5-star status on 24/7 as well. And then on Cy Ranch, there's a safety, Romario Noel, a Baylor commit that a kid I've been wanting to see as well. So, and Cy Ranch has also got some pretty good 2023s I'm excited to see. So that's my lineup for this week.
I think it's interesting. You're coming to Burleson. You'll be about 5 minutes down the road from my house, and I will be elsewhere. So I'm trying to think if there's somewhere I could direct you to eat. There are places I could. Well, we'll talk about that after the show. I've got places for you to eat if you need to grab a bite in town. Last week, on Friday night, went out to go see DeSoto and Cedar Hill. Thursday night, my game was canceled. I didn't find that out until I pulled into the parking lot at the stadium. But as such is 2020, that's kind of the way it goes. So Friday night, I saw Cedar Hill and DeSoto. Like I said, one of my favorite games in every high school year. I mean, no matter who's on each side, usually both sides are pretty talented, but it's just one of my favorite games every year. So the intensity around that game, it didn't even let up with COVID. I mean, I bet it would have been more intense with a bigger crowd, but it was still pretty crazy there. And, you know, I think Cedar Hill went into that game very much the underdog to a really talented DeSoto team, and I thought Cedar Hill kind of pushed him around. Shamar Turner was good. He was doubled a lot, didn't see a lot of action his way. But they kind of effectively neutralized him. The guy that stood out for me on offense for DeSoto was Jonte Cook, the 23 Texas receiver offer. He's just such a phenomenal inside guy and really a natural receiver. And then on defense, they've got a kid, Devin Bobby, who really popped out and did some great things. Offensively for Cedar Hill, Caden Salter, the Tennessee commit, was incredible. He's just that's one of my favorite kids in the state to watch play. He just always – he's got a moxie, like a confidence about him that he never really feels like a game. And I think going into that game, you know, there was – like I said, they were pretty much the underdog to a team. And you couldn't tell Caden that he didn't play like he thought he was the underdog. So I think that's going to be – a really fun district. So it really shakes out now to Cedar Hill will play Duckettville on Friday night for the district championship. And that's going to be a fun one as well. So I wouldn't count the Cedar Hill team out of anything at this point. This week, so Thursday night tonight, not a lot of options. I'm going to see Lancaster against R.L. Turner in what should be a beating of epic proportions. Lancaster's been doing it to everybody on the schedule. And I'm not sure R.L. Turner scored many points this year. And then Friday night, tomorrow night, I'm going to a playoff action, Nick. The 4A and Belows are starting playoff football, and I will be at Kennedale versus Brownwood to go see Texas commit J.D. Coffey in action. So that'll be our slate for this week. We hope you're enjoying this week's episode of The State of Recruiting. We'll be back with the second half after a word from our sponsors.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Nick, do you have our games for the pick'em?
Yeah, absolutely. We got five pretty good ones. Just a 6A is starting to get really deep into district competition, and then obviously 1A through 4A are starting playoffs now. But we're going to start off with probably the game of the week, Cedar Hill and Duncanville. You just kind of mentioned it earlier. Cedar Hill beat DeSoto so that they could play in this district championship, this District of Doom championship. So who do you have in this one?
It's so funny because, like, going into that Cedar Hill DeSoto game, you see those two teams play every year. So you can kind of say year to year, I know what they lost from last year and compare them. But remember that it hasn't been in district with these schools for the last couple of years. Duncanville was that school beating up on DISD teams the last 2 years. So it's hard to say. I haven't seen a direct comparison. I think that Duncanville on paper is the favorite, obviously. But like I said, the way Caden Salter plays, you can never really Cedar Hill out. He's an exceptional quarterback that really excels. So I do like Cedar Hill probably better than most in this matchup, but I'm going to still go with the safe pick in Duncanville.
I respect it. I always said that I thought DeSoto could beat Duncanville this year. I really thought DeSoto was probably the best team in DFW. And then I was shocked to find out that Cedar Hill beat them last week and pretty much controlled the game from what I understand. So I'm rolling with the Longhorns here. Turn them horns loose. I think they get them a little district title here against some pretty good competition.
And before we move on, I know we did it like 2 weeks ago. Do you have our standings?
Yeah, you're up by five games right now.
Okay, so I got a five-game lead on you.
Gotcha. Yeah, we got some weeks. You know, I can probably catch up. You know, don't count me out just yet.
All you got to do is make up, like, pretty much one game a week, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. The second game, we have Denton Guyer and Allen. Obviously, the head coach at Guyer now, Rodney Webb, has some history with Allen in the past couple of years, and this would probably be for a de facto district title. And I don't believe that Allen has lost a district title since 2003, I believe. So who do you have in this one?
I picked against Allen earlier this year, and I regretted it. I think I picked Atascocita in that game, and I think that was a game that Allen beat Cita like they owed him money. Allen has not lost at home ever. Guyer certainly has the talent to do it. Shout out to my guy, Deuce Harmon, who is having a tremendous senior season. But I'm going to roll with Allen staying undefeated at home here.
You know, I've always had I've had a lot of picks in recent years where I've taken, the team playing Allen at Allen's home. But I think this is the one that pulls it off. I'm going to take Guyer. I think they have a lot of senior leadership. And, I kind of said to myself when realignment happened, I was like, you know, Denton Guyer's going to win that district next year. And I haven't seen anything this year that leads me to not believe that. So I'm going to take the Wildcats here in an upset.
We're either going to have separation this week or, I mean, one way or another, the standings are going to flip.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it.
Either you pull into a big lead or I'm going to run it up on you, basically.
You know, I might just flip every single one of your picks this week. I might just pick the other team. That might be what I do. Colleyville Heritage and Mansfield Summit. Who do you have in that one?
Boy, I don't know much about either of these teams. They're teams I haven't been able to see a lot. So I know guys that play for those teams. Like I know some of the individual talent at Summit, including New Auburn commit, Hal Presley and Jacoby Jackson and guys like that. I did talk to somebody last week who told me they thought Colleyville Heritage was one of the more underrated teams in the DFW area. I'm going to go based off the strength of that person and just pick Colleyville Heritage.
Yeah, Colleyville Heritage, they're undefeated on the season so far. I'm going to go with them as well. There's just little inconsistencies that I've seen with Summit's offense so far this year that, you know, worries me in a game like this. So I'm going to take Heritage as well. Game four, we have Richmond Foster and Manville. This is kind of a banger down in the southern Houston area, or kind of the southwestern portion of Houston. So who do you have in this one?
I'm a noted pick against Richmond Foster guy. I think I did it last year in the playoffs, much to my chagrin, because that was when I went out way on a limb and thought New Caney was going to make a run in the playoffs, and Foster beat him in the first round. However, I will not be deterred. I like Manville talent.
Yeah, I'm going to take Manville as well. They just have a bunch of talent this year. A lot of junior talent too. You know, this is a team that's going to return a lot of starters next year. So this is a team to keep an eye on for a couple of years moving forward. I think they're going to kind of take over, you know, Shadow Creek's dominance in that little area before it's over with. I'm going to take Manville as well. And then our fifth game of the week, Nolan Catholic and Parish Episcopal. These are two really good TAPS teams. They're playing for a district title tonight. They're both undefeated, or on Friday night, rather. This is going to be a pretty good one here in Dallas. Who do you got?
This one to me is like the matchup of the week. So many different matchups in this game. You've got the, I would say, Parrish's offensive line is probably one of the better offensive lines at the TAPS level. I can't call it the best because All Saints has Tommy and James Brockermeyer on their line, but Parrish has a really, really strong offensive line. So they've got that. Nolan's got a really good defensive line. I think that, you know, Nolan's got some really good running backs. Parrish has some really good defenders. Where it comes down to me is the matchup at quarterback. And when you look at Preston Stone being under center, he's a guy that I think could take over and win a game on his own. I'm going to go Preston Stone, and I'm going to go Parrish Episcopal.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you here. Parrish obviously has been pretty dominant in those TAPS ranks since Preston Stone has been the man there. And they seem to be putting a lot of talent around him this year on both sides of the ball. So I'm going to go with Parrish as well. And I think they're well on their way to another state championship in their conference in TAPS.
All right. Do we have a small school game?
We don't. You know, I was looking through them, and it's playoffs are starting for 1A through 4A, but it's a lot of mismatches. So I wasn't able to find a small school game of the week, so I just went ahead and went with a private school game of the week.
All right. That works for me. All right. Let's move on to our mailbag. Nick, thanks for that. We will check in on this on the standings next week and see how we did. I think that we've got some big wagers in store here. The mailbag, as always, you can find that on our Horns 24/7 message board when we release it. And you can add your questions there. You can also send your questions to with a 5-star review on our iTunes page. Just search Horns 24/7 and you'll find our network there. If you submit that 5-star review, we will answer any question on the show. All right, our first question comes to us from, give me one second, something is blocking my screen. Okay, the first question comes to the message board from Earl Thomas 12. If Texas wins out, could they get back in it with Quinn Ewers, or would it take a new coaching staff? I think that when you look at it, so when we haven't really had a podcast since Quinn decommitted, I mean, it just felt weird timing. And we did run the podcast I did with Blair Angulo on the 24/7 recruiting podcast to talked about that. But if you look at it, I don't know that I'm not sure it is attainable right now to get back in it with Quinn Ewers. When he decommitted, he mentioned having a decision very soon. It doesn't surprise me, just considering that based on what we were hearing around the time of his decommitment, that, you know, he was looking at other schools, talking to other schools heavily. I think he's already made a decision. And so maybe a new coaching staff would do it, but I'm not sure Texas is going to be able to get back into it with him right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was a lot of factors that played into his decommitment. And I feel like one of those factors was that, you know, another school is just much more appealing right now. So I couldn't give a firm answer on here, but it would probably be negative if I had to.
All right. Our next question comes to us from Hook'em 777. What will it take for Texas to regain momentum on the recruiting trail? Big 12 championship, multiple Big 12 championship game appearances, college football playoffs, a new head coach. Just seems like Herman's vision he's been selling isn't working anymore, as it shouldn't after performances on the it starts with winning. I know I sound like a broken record when I say that, but winning really is what matters at this point. Winning the Big 12 championship this year would be a good start. Winning it next year and getting into the playoff would be a better building block. I think the biggest thing is when Texas seems to take a step forward, they seem to take two steps back. And that's kind of what's been plaguing that momentum. And I think if you look at it every year, they've been able to build that next class early, and then they have setbacks. So remember last year, you know, this class, they had Jalen Milroe and Billy Bowman and all those guys in the class early, and then struggled out the gates. And then all of a sudden you're defending your own turf and, you know, trying to fight for your own commits instead of out recruiting new guys. So I think it's winning and continuing to win. That's what it takes. It may be a new head coach, maybe not. I don't know how that's ultimately going to play off, but winning is what matters most at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. The wins on the field will get you the wins in the recruiting trail. We've been saying that a ton. A Big 12 championship this year, I think they could really spin that in a way to, you know, where it really looks good for this 2022 class. I think they could end up landing a pretty good amount of recruits if they were able to, you know, rattle off a Big 12 championship run and then get in a New Year's Six bowl game and pull off a win there. You know, I think there's a lot of positivity that could happen on the recruiting trail if those two things were to happen.
Next question from the iTunes feed, a five-star review from Horns 3030. Great podcast. Just curious if there are any recruits Texas is looking at from Arizona. We've had success there in recent years with Jake Smith and Bijan Robinson, and I'm wondering if there are any promising prospects from there. Thanks. Yeah, Texas did actually look at a lot of guys from Arizona. They just weren't really able to land any of them this year. I think that they, you know, a lot of that was those guys couldn't visit, and they had visited other places, but Texas was close on a guy like Jonah Miller, who ended up at Oregon, and Marcus Burke ended up committing to Ohio State. So it looks like they struck out in Arizona so far this year. I don't know if there are any guys who are having great seasons out there. We could probably ask our guy Blair Angulo about that, but as of right now, nobody out in Arizona on the board.
It looks like the quote-unquote Arizona of this cycle ended up being Colorado, with Gunnar Helm committing and them getting in on Arden Walker as well. So, and there's a couple of offers out in 2022 in Colorado as well. So, you know, that's probably another state out west to keep an eye on.
Yeah, watching Texas kind of expand their coverage there has been, you know, they've really been expanding out west, I think. You know, wherever you go, be it Colorado, be it Arizona, be it California, there are talented players everywhere. It's just about finding them and seeing if you can get them. All right, our next question from Jay Garwood. Any chance Texas can get back in with Clayton Smith at any point based on how the defense continues to perform? I don't believe so. I think Clayton's pretty locked into Oklahoma. You know, that's a kid that made a decision and hasn't really wavered since he made that decision. He's been a huge part of the Oklahoma class and is set as a enrollee from what I know. So I think that that ship has certainly sailed.
Yeah, to just kind of speak on from what I know, he was actually active in Oklahoma's recruitment of Damian Collins, the five-star power forward out of Atlanta, Texas. They're really close friends up in that Texarkana area. So he's actively recruiting on for multiple sports for the Sooners right now.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that one is certainly passed. From Jay Garwood, generally speaking, would recruits react more positively to Texas making it to the Big 12 championship and Herman being retained, or Texas hiring a coach not named Urban Meyer? It's a really good question. I think if they made it to the Big 12 championship, and I'm going to say making it's not enough, winning a Big 12 championship and Herman being retained would – I think would probably generate more excitement than Texas hiring a coach not named Urban Meyer, depending on who the coach is. I mean, not that I say Nick Saban is an option, but you say not named Urban Meyer. Well, if they hire Nick Saban, that's a different question. But I think if you're saying a lower than Urban Meyer option, I would say probably Texas winning the Big 12 championship and Tom Herman being retained would generate more.
Yeah, for sure. I think the pitch that Texas football has been giving to recruits for, you know, quite a bit of time now is, you know, what they're going to put on the field, what the offense is going to look like, what the defense is going to look like. And if they're able to actually get a product out of that this year, and that being a Big 12 championship, I think it would look a lot better than, you know, a new coach coming in, not named Urban Meyer, of course, and then giving them that same pitch. Like, you know, this is what our offense is going to look like. You know, I think product definitely overtakes that any day.
Yeah, absolutely. From Den 12, what went wrong in Landon Watson's recruitment? He seems like a guy that could be in the class. I know this is a name people haven't heard in years. I just don't think Landon Watson is a fit for Texas. He's not, you know, I had never seen Landon in person. Nick, you and I went out to that O-line, D-line thing that Mike West put on in Houston over the summer. That was the first time I'd ever seen Landon Watson in person. And I think he's a really good player and a really good defender. And I think TCU is going to figure out a way to utilize him because they usually do. But he is not a fit for a traditional defensive end. I would say he's probably only 6'1 or 6'2 at this point. And not long enough for what really Texas really wants on that edge, the edge prospect. So I just don't think he was a fit for them schematically.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up being more of an outside backer at the next level at TCU. You know, and I think that's a good fit for him. I've been affiliated with that Hutto program for a couple of years now, so I've seen Landon a ton. You know, he was a kid that Texas never really showed a lot of interest in. And, you know, they prioritized some of these guys like Jordan and Derek and Jatavion early. So those are the guys that they're looking at for sure.
From Salado Horn, are there any receivers out there, high school or JUCO, that can take the top off of a defense that Texas can get at this? There are no receivers fear into defenses and to run your such offense. They need burners. I think J.J. Henry is a guy that can really make a big play. I don't know if he's exactly what you're looking for, but I think he can play a little bit of inside, a little bit of outside. He's probably the guy that stands out most to me. I need to see more of this Keithron Lee kid to give you a better idea of what I think his skill set's capable of. He had some big-time plays on his film, so I guess those would be the two guys I would mention.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and flat out say Keithron Lee for sure. I'd probably put him even over J.J. Henry in that conversation. He's definitely a big play threat. And J.J. Henry is, of course, another kid in that conversation. J.J. Henry's offense has been a little bit more stagnant at McKinney North this year than it was last year. He had a quarterback last year that was really able to get the ball to him. And kind of the system at McKinney North this year has not played into J.J.'s favor. But when he touches the ball, he's almost always picking up 20 or 30 yards or, you know, breaking off for a touchdown. So he's definitely a big play threat, and I think he can be that at the next level too.
All right, from Idaho Horn, do you guys feel like 2021 took on the complexion of a transition class early on because of the replacement of so many of the coaches or were relationships mishandled and never fully developed with recruits? I think it was a perfect storm of, you know, new coaches, a pandemic that didn't allow them to visit and become familiar with those coaches. That hurt them more than anything. I think early on they kind of did a good job of mitigating that, but it eventually caught up to them, and then losing out of the gate. I mean, and just looking like the same old team, that's really what hurt them. Sure, there is a degree of relationships never fully developing. I think, you know, what's interesting is I was thinking about this the other day. When I went to Duncanville quite a bit last year, if you saw Texas coaches out there, you would usually see Tim Beck, who was out there recruiting Jaquindon Jackson, or you would see Craig Niver, who was out there recruiting Chris Thompson. Those guys would handle the majority of the recruiting and had the relationship to those schools. Those guys are no longer there. I never really saw Herb Hand at Duncanville. So now you've got Savion Byrd, a big priority, and you know, the guys he saw most often were Tim Beck and Craig Niver. I just think that there's a lot of cases like that where the old coach has moved on, and maybe those handoffs were fumbled or just not picked up and not, you know, really. And they were limited with what they could do with the pandemic. But I still think at this point, you know, there's just some hurdles they had, and for a guy like Herb Hand, there are some things that are inexcusable on this offensive line that have happened this year. But I think that probably paints the picture best. Is just a lot of the guys who were the best recruiters on the staff aren't here anymore.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. Just something to kind of keep an eye on. This could also end up being an issue for the class of 2022. It was just announced yesterday that the recruiting dead period is going to extend all the way out into April 15th. So now we're, planning for 6 months in advance, and there's still not going to be any visits until then. So the class of 2022 is going to be well, into the thick of things by then. And the class of 2021 will be well signed by then. I think there was quite a few recruits I know, at least in the state of Texas, that were, holding out just for some possibility of visits in January. But now that's obviously not going to happen. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on too. They're going to have to figure out how to do this, virtual recruiting effort that they've, been able to give in 2021, maybe just step it up a little bit.
All right. And our last question from Grok 0608, the past 2 to 3 games, Texas linebacker play has been terrific. What linebacker recruits are we after going forward? This thing doesn't really change on a game-to-game basis. I mean, the board is the board. And I don't think recruits watch the games as closely as fans do. So I don't know that there's any recruits out there like linebackers who were previously like, well, I like the way Texas linebackers played, and now saying, well, they've been really good the last 2 to 3 games. It's just not – they don't look at things on such a micro level. So the guys are who they are. They've got Maurice Blackwell in the class. They've got Derek Harris in the class. And Terrence Cooks is making his decision this weekend. I think if they get Terrence Cooks, they're probably done at linebacker in 2021.
Yeah, and then probably looking forward to 2022, just a couple of linebackers that they're going after pretty early. Harold Perkins, of course, out of Side Park. Sebastian Cheeks, that's definitely a out-of-state prospect to keep an eye on. There's quite a few linebackers emerging in the 2022 class that, I am liking and that I think the Texas staff is definitely going to get involved with as well. So 2022 has definitely got some linebackers as well to keep an eye on.
Yeah, when you look at it, they just recently offered Travell Johnson as well from Arlington Martin. So, I think Coleman Hutzler has been pretty good about evaluating and finding guys and offering them and recruiting them. I would say probably better than Todd Orlando was in his spot. So, I actually feel, I would say, optimistic towards the future of linebacker at this point. All right, that's going to do it for the mailbag. As always, we thank you guys for your involvement and your participation. Nick, before we get out of here, anything else you want to add?
No, nothing really. Just getting down to this grind of football season. It's going to be weird because it's starting to process that we're going to have state championships all the way up until mid-January. So I'm just going to have to mentally prepare for that. It's going to be a little weird.
And we could have state championships like rescheduled down the line and a random like Saturday with one. It's going to be odd. COVID is hitting again. It's the numbers are going way up. We've dealt with it in my own home this week, had to get tested. And, the testing sites are few and far between here. I think we waited in 2 hours in line to get one the other day. So, I think I would just say that prepare for chaos when it comes to the playoffs. I think there's already been some bi-district games canceled or forfeited. And I think that's just a sign of things to come. So prepare for chaos there. All right, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. We appreciate everybody for listening, playing along at home. We appreciate you guys who miss us when we are gone. For Nick Harris, I'm Mike Roach, and we will see you guys next week.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.